Timing a divorce is not a selfish move. It is a strategic move. If you know divorce is coming, but you're not ready to pull the trigger, that does not make you weak. It makes you strategic. Use this time to prepare, stabilize your home, protect your kids, and build the foundation that you're going to need when you're ready. You don't have to file today to start getting ready for tomorrow. If you're going through a divorce or thinking about getting a divorce, this is the podcast for you. Hosted by Morgan Stogsill, the head of family law at the largest family law firm in the country, and comedian Andrea Rappaport, you're going to laugh, you're going to learn, you're going to avoid major divorce mistakes. This is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
You know, Andrea, the biggest takeaway I hope that people get from listening to this podcast is that they make better decisions, but being proactive and not reactive.
Yeah, I know. But being proactive about your divorce can come with a lot of really big, uncomfortable feelings, especially when it pertains to your kids.
I couldn't agree more, but that's why I want you to consider using the co-parenting app to help with communication. We want you to look at the most court-respected app, Our Family Wizard.
Visit the landing page that we created together. There is a ton of useful information, and when you're ready to make the next step, Our Family Wizard is ready to support you.
Visit ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck20 to save 20% off your first year of the Essentials package.
The one thing that I have learned about using QuickBooks is that it is not quick.
Or helpful at times.
No. The hell? I mean, how many hours did we spend going through numbers and, oh, God, the makers of QuickBooks, take the wheel away from me, please.
I was kind of impressed by you because when I was like, we need to figure out an accounting system, you're like, I got it. You downloaded it. You uploaded all the things we had to do. Mm-hmm. And then it was like the wheels fell off.
Uh-huh. They did. You and I thought, oh, we're going to have this little meeting and staycation getaway. And it was completely absorbed by the slowest books in the entire land. However, we could not have had a more beautiful backdrop for our QuickBook fiasco. Do you agree?
Yes, we actually had fireplaces in our rooms. It was fabulous.
It was fabulous. And it was a far cry from the disastrous hotels that you've all have heard about in Los Angeles, because this week, you girls had a night at the Waldorf Astoria, and it was so freaking fabulous. I was joking around with our new best friend, shout out DeAndre, when we left, that I was changing my home address and our business address to the Waldorf, so be on the lookout for mail.
You know what? They were so great there, including DeAndre and all of his colleagues. I bet they would do QuickBooks for us. I bet they would do it.
I mean, literally, any time we picked up the phone and asked for something, not only did they do it, they apologized first for not have already have done it, which I'm like, I can get behind this. Codependent concierge? Yes, baby. Oh, we're so sorry, Miss Rappaport. We'll be right up. Oh, yeah, you are sorry. Get up here. It was absolutely, it was so gorgeous. So, I mean, we cannot say enough.
Talk about what you made me do while we were together overnight.
You know, if you know Morgan, you know that her favorite thing in the whole world is the world of woo-woo. Woo-woo, if you will. So we're sitting in our room and we are going through QuickBooks and we're about to pull out our hair extensions. And I'm like, you know what? We got to get out of this room. We got to get out of this room. We got to turn off this fireplace, which might have been poisoning us with carbon monoxide, TBD. But we're like, we got to get out of here. We're going to go outside and take a walk. But I knew we were going. So we're walking outside and Morgan's like, where are we going? What's going on? I'm like, oh, I know this little place I want to show you. So for those of you who are Chicagoans, we are at the corner of Oak and Rush in Gold Coast. And I'm like, oh, it's just a few doors down. And I take her to the Chicago famous astrologer on Oak Street. And I'm trying to remember, what is the name of that business? Hang on, I just looked it up so I could give it a proper shout out. It's called the Astrology Boutique Oak Street Psychic and Aura Readings.
And yes,
we got red.
We did. We got red. And it was interesting. After you got up the 17 flights of stairs to get there, it was very inviting. And the woman who read our cards was very nice. But I'm going to give you a little secret about myself. She basically told me that everything was good in my life. I was very logical, but I needed to take a load off. She basically said, get with your spiritual woo-woo side, Morgan. And I almost fell off my chair because she said, everything else is in place, but your woo-woo side, not in place.
It was so interesting because this woman knew nothing about us. We didn't make an appointment. She did not know our names. She didn't know who we were. Like nothing. We walk in and she read us right. I was just dumbfounded. Like, we're both like just laughing, like, oh my God, what is happening? This is so weird, so great, and so heavy. It was all the things, much like how you right now listening to this episode, especially if you're listening to this episode because of the way that it's titled, you're probably going through all the things. You want to feel like everything is normal and good in your life. Maybe things for the most part are good, but maybe you're absorbed by the fact that you know you are heading towards divorce. Maybe you guys are both on the same page about that. Maybe you both are not. But whether it's for financial reasons, personal reasons, or maybe you're just trying to make it through the holiday season, or maybe you're trying to make it through a big milestone, for some reason, you are not ready to file for divorce immediately. But you're miserable. So what do you do? Well, something that we want you to consider on this episode of How Not to Suck at Divorce is what they call a silent divorce. And no, it's not the Christmas Carol. But possibly all will be calm if you apply this method.
So you've heard of this concept. It's kind of all the rage. It's out there in the media. It's called the silent divorce. But what the hell is it? And how can you help yourself if you are in the silent divorce? You know, it's funny, Andrea, because we were just talking about this article on Oprah Daily. Remember her?
No, I remember Oprah. Yeah. Heard of her.
What did Oprah do now?
Heard of her. And the article was about why so many couples are opting for this silent divorce. And the gist of the article was that this temporary solution is just that. It's temporary. It doesn't work long term, but it can be helpful if you need a Band-Aid. And let's be honest, sometimes a Band-Aid is good for that time period. So a silent divorce really involves kind of just backing out of the marriage, but you're still married. And it's more about in your mental status, how you're acting in the marriage, and in whether you're participating in the marriage, or if you're not, you might be in a silent divorce.
So I think there's two different ways of doing a silent divorce. So I want to break it down for everybody. Let's give everyone two buckets here, because you're going to fall into one of these two. One way is that both parties know that they are participating in a silent divorce and they're just waiting, right? For one reason or another. But you guys are on the same page. We know we're heading for divorce, but right now we're going to participate in a silent divorce. And the other bucket is where just one person, probably the one who's listening to this episode, is emotionally detached, wants a divorce, but is just waiting for a better time to quote unquote pull the trigger.
So let's talk about, before we hop into more about silent divorce, let's talk about the signs of a silent divorce and what they involve. So specifically, you might be in a silent divorce if you're having minimal communication, the loss of intimacy, living parallel lives. You're almost feeling like you're living with a roommate, or you're just in and out from each other. And I'm not talking about the normal thing that goes on with kids, you know, trying to get them certain places at certain times. Mm-hmm. There's avoidance of conflict. There's no affection or romance. And there's a sense of loneliness, even when you are together with your spouse.
Oh, yeah. That brings back some memories. So we want to make this episode really actionable. We're going to give you guys some guidelines of three things that you can do, okay? And we're not going to get into the things that you shouldn't do because you guys aren't dumb. You know that, right? Don't do body shots off your dad right now and then tell your spouse, you know what? I want to divorce your ass and I'm going to go hook up with DeAndre at the Waldorf, right? We're not going to do that. But what should you do if you fall into the bucket of both parties know that you're going to divorce, but you're not divorcing right now, so you guys are in a silent divorce?
Mm-hmm. Here's a few do's for you. The first do is, during this period, keep things predictable. There should not be any major changes in your routine. You want to feel like you are living roommate energy, but with kindness. Does that make sense, Andrea?
Oh, yes. Keep things predictable, meaning, I mean, I think we all function better when we know what to expect, right? So don't start rearranging the house and don't start doing things that you normally wouldn't do and start behaving in an erratic or unpredictable way. And I think like that then kind of tied to what you said about how you would treat a roommate who you're not trying to get to move out immediately.
Right. The second do I would say is, if you are in a place, because remember, this is when two people kind of know they're heading towards the divorce. So it's out there, but they're waiting for something, whatever that may be. And so if you are in the position where you can discuss some rules, almost like living with a roommate, for example, this is what really bothers me and this is what I'm asking of you. Maybe it's that one person stay in one bedroom and another person stay in another, or one person doesn't use certain rooms in the house. Whatever that is to make you feel comfortable, if you can make some of those rules and live by it, it will make this period much easier.
I mean, it sounds like we're talking about boundaries here, but how... That feels like such an uncomfortable conversation. Like, but obviously it has to happen, but I'm just thinking, in your experience, Morgan, what are ways that you have had clients successfully communicate, hey, how do we want to figure out the sleeping situation for the next, you know, month or so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are they wording that?
Well, I think just kind of like you are wording it, and then they're organically kind of coming to an agreement. And I've seen all different agreements. It's, this is my bedroom, I'm moving into the guest room, you take the master, or week on, week off in the master. Or, you know, I'm going to go into a totally different room, but I'm going to move all of my stuff from the master, and that's going to be my space. Please don't enter it. There are so many different ways to work that out.
And I know of... couples who have also come up with reasons, ways to justify this sleeping arrangement to the kids. You know, they said things like, well, mommy snores and it keeps daddy up at night. And so daddy's going to start sleeping in this room for a while until, you know, that changes.
Yes.
Or, you know, things like that. Are there any other phrases that you know work well as far as explaining the sleeping arrangements mm-hmm. to kids?
Yeah, there's another one. So if both parents are working, you can say that one parent's work schedule has required, you know, later hours. So they're going to be on the computer at night. It's keeping the other person up, or earlier hours. They have to leave the house a little earlier. So this is why we're making, you know, this change in the household.
Okay, got it. So we've got have boundaries and keep things predictable. What's the third do?
The third do here is very important. So, you know, you're in limbo in this silent divorce, meaning you're just not quite ready to file for divorce. But what we don't want you to do is essentially just sit there and do nothing in this limbo period. We want you to treat this time period as preparation. Mm-hmm. Not limbo. So we want you to think about, you know, your financials. We want you to think about going to therapy to get stronger on your end. We want you to think about potentially talking to attorneys, or at least starting to research at that point. So it shouldn't be idle time where you're kind of miserable sitting with your spouse and you know what's going to happen next.
And I think that what you said, it rings true on so many different levels, because when we think that we're in limbo, it's so funny, because when you think about limbo, you think about doing nothing. But mm-hmm. when we're doing nothing, that's when our mind starts racing.
Right.
Versus when we're actually doing something to move the ball forward, your brain is going to be in a calmer place. And here's what you need to know. No matter what, the fear that you're having right now is normal, but fear doesn't mean that you're making the wrong decision. Okay. Fear disappears when you start to have more clarity. Don't wait on all these things that Morgan just talked about. Don't wait on learning about your finances. Don't wait on seeing a therapist. Don't wait on any of this, because the sooner that you get support, the fewer mistakes that you're going to make. And the other thing is that if you're listening to this episode in time when this episode is being launched and it's the holiday season and you're feeling really overwhelmed because you and your soon-to-be ex have to go to all these holiday things together and you've got to make the holidays good for the kids and you're like, how the fuck are we going to do this? Well, if you can, why don't you ask your spouse? Why don't you say, how can we make the next few weeks, the next month easier for each other? I'm feeling this. What are you feeling? This is what I need. What do you need from me during this period of time?
Yeah, I think that's important. So let's move on to, what if I'm the only one who knows? Like, I've just totally disconnected. And I know that I'm basically living this silent divorce, but my spouse has no idea. They're not aware that I'm living like this. They're not aware that these thoughts are going through my head. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Yes, let's talk about that. So if you are sitting on the information that you really want to divorce and you are waiting until a better time to tell your spouse, like we said before, maybe it's because of the holidays, or maybe you're just waiting for a big milestone to pass, or maybe you're waiting to pass a kidney stone. We want to recognize that you're carrying a lot of weight. But I want you all to hear me on this. Timing a divorce is not a selfish move. It is a strategic move.
And when you're being strategic, this is, again, when one person knows that they're in this silent divorce, so they want a divorce, and the other one does not. Here are some do's that I want you to keep in mind. Number one, do understand that secrecy is not deceitful. It's careful behavior at this point. You're protecting yourself. I know that was a lot to take in. I'm going to say it again. Do understand that your secrecy during this time is not deceitful. It's being careful.
That feels so weird to hear, because I think so many people are going to think, but I feel like such an asshole because I'm holding something to myself.
Yeah. I understand. And that is a way that a lot of people feel. So what I see legally in my office, that is a way that people feel, because they feel like, you know, you've been with this person for so long and now you're plotting against them. But really, I want you to think about it like this. It's being strategic. You're not plotting against them. You're getting yourself up to speed on things that you should be knowledgeable on before you make that next step.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it.
All right.
What's the next?
Number two, do have one person to confide in. Notice that we said one, not 25, not John at the bar, not Tina from the bar. We don't want those people. We want one person.
Sally.
Loudmouth Sally. No, thanks. One person that you can trust and confide in, so you're not feeling so alone. We only say one because it really does start to get messy. And if you want to, you know, Andrew was just talking about how you feel bad about you thinking this way or prepping. Mm-hmm. That's another way that you're really going to feel bad if you start telling a lot of people.
Yep. You get all these voices and opinions. Okay. So we're going to tell only one person what's going on. And we are going to, oh my God, I already forgot the first do. What?
The first one is that your preparation is not being deceitful or secret. It's essentially preparation and just that.
Oh, got it. So the first do is just knowing that you're not being deceitful. You're preparing. Okay.
Okay.
And the third do is similar to the last grouping of action items that we gave you, which is, again, use this time to get prepared. That's the only way. Preparation is the only way you're going to feel comfortable when you're ready to move forward in this process. And if you have the time, prepare. There's no other way to say it. You should be prepared.
So here's my question. How does preparation look different when you and your spouse know that you're both heading towards divorce versus when only you know?
Yeah. So if only you know, one way preparation would be different is maybe you're working with your attorney whenever that time comes to talk to your spouse about how you're feeling in this divorce and what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're working with your therapist during this time to talk about that. Maybe you're working with your therapist to talk about just getting up the nerve to leave the marriage. So the process in the beginning certainly looks different than the couple that already knows that they're going down that road.
Maybe you're working with your astrologer.
You never know. Maybe she gives you a stone, makes you pay $20 for it. It's in your work bag. And she claims that it's going to give you good energy. That's what I'm walking around with.
Or maybe you have a $95 bracelet that looks like a weapon that's supposed to ward off evil spirits. I'm like, yeah, because I could kill them with this bracelet dagger. Maybe there's that.
You know, you never know what you could walk out with. And if you don't know, Andrea and I did walk out with a stone. It looked like I could have picked it out of my garden. I had to pay $20 for it. It is now in my work bag. And yes, I'm carrying that around. Good juju. And Andrea walked out with a bracelet that looks like black daggers on it that she essentially is going to ward off evil spirits.
Good Lord. Let's remind everybody of the do's for if only you know that you are going to be participating in a silent divorce.
Let's hit it. Number one, do understand that secrecy isn't deceitful, it's careful behavior. Number two, have that one person that you confide in, only one. Number three, begin preparing logistics, whether it's documents, therapy, preparation on what attorneys or mediators may look like, because preparation reduces your panic.
Morgan, I know we want to talk for a minute about people who are listening to this episode in real time. So why don't we address the holiday stuff right now?
Yes, that's a great idea because I want to give a special word of advice if you're listening to this episode when it originally launched, which is during the holiday season. And if you're not, just know that this will be helpful to you too, because if you're living this silent divorce, the reality is you're probably faking it in front of your family or two families or many sets of families, and it's exhausting. Legally and strategically, the holidays are usually not the best time to drop any life-altering news. This is not the time that you show up to the Christmas dinner table and say, I want a divorce in front of your mother-in-law. That would be very bad because the reality is, although this is a lovely time of year, everyone's emotions are so heightened at this time of year. Kids are off of school, families around, which always adds another layer. It's not the ideal moment to make a massive decision or announce a major change in your life. Even in functional marriages, know this, that the holidays are stressful. You're talking about something where your marriage is a little shaky or maybe it's over in your mind. So think about that's double the stress. I mean, divorce at the dinner table sounds like a movie I personally don't want to see.
It sounds like a movie I have seen. Sounds
you've
like actually, a movie I've lived.
You starred in it.
I mean, yeah. Man, I mean, I can tell you that I lived that. I didn't talk about it, but I remember navigating family big holiday things, knowing something that nobody else in the room knew. And it's a nauseating feeling. It's hard. It doesn't feel good. And there's no advice that I can give you right now. There's no magic thing that you can go click your heels together three times in a bathroom and it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. But I also want to let you know that this is not the time to pretend that everything is fine. So you have to get it together enough so you're not falling apart, but don't put that extra pressure on you to show up and be perfect.
Right.
Because that will crush you. That fake energy, even if you go to the best astrologer.
You have questions. I have the answers.
Down the street and she gives you a stone and a cloak and dagger. Yeah, that you can't be phony. I think that if you can curl your hair and tie your tie and look put together, that's enough. But you don't have to be perfect.
I know. And, you know, I think the message here is be respectful, be kind. Obviously, don't confuse civility with performing in a marriage that's already emotionally done. Obviously, do what you can to protect where you need to protect if you have children. Yeah. Protect your children. That's where you're going to put on the show. But for your spouse, again, respectful kindness is exactly what we're asking you to do.
And before we remind everybody of these do's in the episode, I just want to leave you with this. Your life right now is not going to be beautiful and perfect no matter what you do. If you pretend, if you try to go all out and decorate your home like a winter wonderland, you're still going to be crying in your bathroom. And that's okay. You're going to get through this, but you need to lower your expectations. You're not going to have a Hallmark version of the holidays this year, and you're not going to have a Hallmark version of your marriage. I think that you should keep your interactions really simple. I think you should avoid some big conversations and big promises and do your very best to stay grounded. Move your body, take walks, take time by yourself, talk to that one person who you can confide in. And my God, if you have a TV show that takes you out and lets your brain like have a minute of rebooting, go watch it, even if it's that terrible All's Fair on Hulu, which now I am low-key obsessed with.
I thought you were going to say the Diddy documentary, so.
No, girl, you're down with the Diddy. I'm actually watching something else right now on Netflix that's like equally as disturbing. And you know what? Sometimes people can get, sometimes the true crime stuff really does help people go to that like other place. You know, they're like that lucky bastard chopped into a million pieces.
All right. So if you both know that you're in the silent divorce, you both know you're going down that road. Number one, keep things predictable. Should feel like roommate energy with kindness. Number two, if you are in the position where you can discuss some boundaries, make some rules, do it. It's easier that way. Number three, treat this time as preparation, not limbo. Talk to lawyers, get your budget going, therapists, whatever you need to do, but learn about the potential process ahead of you. If you are the only one that knows you're living this type of silent divorce and your spouse is unaware, number one, do understand that secrecy isn't deceitful. It is careful. It's strategic. Number two, do have that one person you confide in. Number three, begin prepping logistics. Again, documents, expenses, preparation reduces panic. So get your feet wet in that so that when it's all happening, you're prepared for it. You're ready.
And we have so many other episodes that we encourage you to go back and listen to. If you do a search for Not Quite Ready to Divorce or really anything that has to do with divorce prep, it'll pull all of those up. So go back and listen to the episodes where we really get into the specifics of what you should be doing. But just know that even though this time period in your life is going to feel sticky, it's going to get better. And I want you to be prepared that when you start the divorce process itself, it's probably going to get a little bit stickier, but that's okay. You got to get the ball rolling. You have to move forward because the only way out is through.
Right, because divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. There are some days that it's like day by day and other days, babe, you're dealing hour by hour. That's just the reality of where you are. You are treading water, and it's okay because there will be another day, hopefully, God willing or stone willing, whatever tarot card willing. There will be another day, and it probably will not be as bad as your worst day.
And then a few years from now, this is going to all be behind you, and your life is going to be so much healthier and so much happier. You have a great chance of getting that Hallmark ending. It just might not be now, and that's okay. And you know what? When you are sitting here so worried about what about my kids? How am I going to give my kids this last beautiful Christmas as a family or whatever it is? Think about what a beautiful role model you are being for your children by working towards a healthier and happier life. They are watching and they are learning from you. So do the very best you can. We all make mistakes, but speaks more than the mistake is how you pick yourself up and keep going. So keep That's going. Right. Join our private community if you need more help or you want more support. If you are listening to this and you're new to our show, then baby, you got to go grab the Divorce Crash Course because it's going to hold your hand through all these major early decisions. Go check out all of the guides that we have on our website and just know that we are here for you.
And what we're asking of you, being a wonderful listener, is to rate and review us. It allows us to keep at the top of the charts, keep doing this good work, bringing you the shows that you enjoy, the tough love, but also the humor.
You guys can do this. I know it feels hard. I know it feels overwhelming. I was right there. I really was. And my life is so much grander now. It takes some time and it takes a lot of work, but you can do this. And baby, you've got this.
And we, my friends, have got you.
The How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast shall not be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information heard in this podcast is not and shall not be construed as legal advice.